From the National Institutes of Health in Bethesda, Maryland, this is NIH Research Radio. Hello and welcome to the premiere edition of NIH Research Radio. I'm your host, Bill Schmalfelt. Every other week here on NIH Research Radio, we'll get you up to date on the latest news regarding medical research supported by the 27 institutes and centers here at the National Institutes of Health, the nation's medical research agency. This time on NIH Research Radio, we'll talk about the transition of medical research from the lab to the doctor's office with the new Associate Director for Translational Biomedicine at the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences. Wally Akinso has a report about the new Spanish language initiative being launched by the National Kidney Disease Education Program. And I'll sit down with Dr. Harrison Wine to discuss what you'll find in this month's issue of the NIH News in Health. But first, a story about how one institute at the NIH is using the arts to help eliminate negative stereotypes about aging. It's a mingling of the young and old that's at the heart of the Vital Visionaries Project, an arts-based program developed by the National Institute on Aging. Managed by the nonprofit Society for the Arts and Healthcare, the goal of the program is to improve the attitude of future doctors toward older people and to awaken in older people an awareness of their creative possibilities.
It's very clear that our whole culture has bought into a negative image of aging, and that includes older people, too. They don't understand their potential and that late life can be an opportunity for creative engagement.
That was Dr. Judith A. Salerno, Deputy Director of the NIA. She said the program had a modest but impressive start.
It was a bit of an experiment. We matched 15 medical students with 15 people in the Baltimore community, older persons who were living on their own independently, and we gave them an art exposure, if you will. We set up an opportunity for them to work together in pairs to actually create art, listen to older artists, and explore a museum. And we measured their attitudes prior to engaging in this Vital Visionaries program, and then after, and we found that the medical students' attitudes toward aging improved dramatically, and they were much more likely to have a positive view of seeing older people in their practice.
The program has now been expanded to several other medical schools around the country. This program coincides with a decline in the number of physicians who specialize in the medical problems associated with aging. There are about 9,000 geriatricians in the U.S. today, far short of the estimated 36,000 that will be needed by 2030 to treat the growing number of older people, according to a study contracted by the Association of Directors of Geriatric Academic Programs. But even setting aside for a moment the healthcare benefits of the Vital Visionaries program, there's a wonderful human side to the results as well.
If you look at the faces of the participants in this program, you can see that there has been a difference, there has been a change. The most rewarding aspect of this program has been that the pairing of the medical students and the older person has continued long, long after the program has been finished. We've actually, with this program, created friendships.
You can read more about the program online at nia.nih.gov. People in the Hispanic community are disproportionately affected by diabetes and hypertension, two leading causes of kidney disease. Wally Akinso talks about a program aimed at getting the message about kidney disease prevention to a community that needs to hear it.
The National Kidney Disease Education Program has launched a new Spanish language initiative, which includes a website and brochure highlighting the connection between kidney disease and its primary risk factors, diabetes and hypertension. Hispanics are nearly twice as likely to develop kidney failure as whites, according to Dr. Josephine Briggs, the director of the National Institute of Diabetes and Digestive and Kidney Diseases Division of Kidney, Urologic, and Hematologic Diseases.
Our long-term goal, of course, would be to see the rates of diabetic kidney disease in Hispanics fall as low as we think they can be, as low as they are in Caucasian populations. Our short-term goal is to have more Hispanic people asking their doctor, do I need to be tested for this? So it's an awareness campaign.
The website and brochure provide science-based information to people in the Hispanic community at high risk for kidney disease. To view the NKDEP Spanish language website and to download or order the brochure, visit www.nkdep.nih.gov/espanol. This is Wally Akinso at the National Institutes of Health, Bethesda, Maryland.
I'm joined by Dr. Harrison Wine. He's the editor of the newsletter called NIH News and Health, or NIH, as we call it around here. The March issue is hitting the stands even as we speak. Where can folks get a copy of this?
Well, the easiest way to get it is to just go to the website, which is newsandhealth.nih.gov. But your local library might have it, and if they don't, you might even ask them to get it.
Is it available in doctor's offices or hospitals or clinic settings, that sort of thing?
Well, it's really up to that organization. We'll send it out free to any community health centers, senior centers, hospital clinics, libraries, anyone who requests them. So if you want to see it in your local center, just ask them to contact us and we'll send it out. Anyone can go and look at the website, download it as a PDF, print it, it's a free resource, or just browse through all the web pages. It's up there. All the stories are normal HTML like any web pages.
Now this is geared for the layperson, not the medical professional necessarily, right?
This is a health advice for people, health tips. It's all based on solid research done by NIH or funded by NIH at institutions all around the country.
And there's a different subject every month.
We usually have themes. Mm-hmm. This month it's a bit unusual because we have two themes. March is both Nutrition Month and Kidney Awareness Month. So we have stories on vitamins, minerals, and newer types of supplements.
Right. The lead story this month is supplementing your diet, all about vitamins, minerals, and beyond. A lot to be said about that. There's a big industry in dietary supplements.
There's a huge industry, and it's not regulated. They're not regulated like normal drugs. They're regulated more like food. So as long as they're generally seen as safe, they can go on the shelves.
What sort of information in this article?
It basically gives you some tips on how to find out more information, how to look into whether something's safe and whether it's effective. We have a lot of resources, and there are other resources throughout the government that can give you some tips. Unlike drugs, the companies that market these things don't have to prove that they are effective, and they can't make claims that they're solving any kind of medical problems.
A lot of information in that article. Also, you mentioned the story about making the kidney connection. Tell us about that.
Diabetes and high blood pressure are the leading risk factors for kidney disease, and most people don't know this. Kidney disease affects almost 20 million Americans. So basically, NIH's National Institute of Diabetes and Digestive and Kidney Diseases wants people to talk to their doctor about it.
Now, one of the things I really like about NIH News and Health is the health capsules you'll find on the back page and the featured website.
So, well, the featured website ties into the main theme. It's the five-a-day website. There's a great body of research that fruits and vegetables are good for you for all different reasons that would take 2 hours to explain.
Any idea what we can look forward to in the April issue?
We're going to talk, you may have heard about the low-fat study out of the Women's Health Initiative. We're going to take a little bit of a closer look into low-fat, sat-fat, trans-fat, and dieting and weight control in general.
And once again, the website for NIH News and Health?
It's News and Health. Just put them all together. newsandhealth.nih.gov.
Dr. Harrison Wine is the editor. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Bill.
How does the discovery of a medical breakthrough in the laboratory find its way into your doctor's office? It's a process called translational biomedicine, which focuses on moving research results from scientific study into clinical practice. Dr. William J. Martin is the new Associate Director for Translational Biomedicine at the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences. He talked about some of the roadblocks in getting research from the lab to the bedside.
First of all, it's expensive and time-consuming to do translational research. Both the questions and the answers are complex. For example, there are thousands of new and important discoveries being made every year, perhaps even every week. We really lack the training and the information processing systems to efficiently move this knowledge forward. In addition, the typical grant funding mechanisms do not adequately support support translational research.
Dr. Martin discussed some of the ways the National Institutes of Health are working to resolve some of those obstacles.
The Clinical and Translational Science Award announced last October was really an NIH-wide effort to address this. More recently, NIEHS has announced the Discover programs, which also will promote translational research within the Institute.
Dr. Martin said that developing a more integrated program in environmental research, where there are more researchers trained and involved in this field, will allow for more rapid dissemination and translation of research findings so they can be used to improve health. Well, that's it for this edition of NIH Research Radio. Our thanks once again to Dr. Harrison Wine from the NIH News in Health, Dr. Judith A. Salerno from the National Institute on Aging, Dr. Josephine Briggs at the National Institute of Diabetes and Digestive and Kidney Diseases, and Dr. William J. Martin at the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences. We hope you'll be with us for the next edition of NIH Research Radio in 2 weeks. These stories are also available for use by radio news agencies at nih.gov/news/radio. And our NIH Health Matters feature can be heard daily on XM Satellite Radio and on nearly 1,000 radio stations nationwide. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, please feel free to get in touch with me. My contact info is right there on the NIH Radio website. I'm Bill Schmalfelt, and this has been NIH Research Radio, a production of the NIH Radio News Service at the National Institutes of Health, an agency of the United States Department of Health and Human Services.